This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. In our coverage of the eviction crisis facing the country, we focus mostly on how it affects renters. What we're talking about today is how property managers are handling this crisis and what resources are available for both renters and property managers. With the new CDC moratorium on evictions, many landlords and property owners find themselves in the same situation they have been since earlier this year. What does the CDC eviction moratorium cover, and how are landlords coping with the new mandate? With us, Stacy Johnson Cosby is president of the Kansas City Regional Housing Alliance. Stacy, nice to have you again. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Are you guys getting a bad rap, Stacy? Because you say the word landlord these days, and a lot of people, you know, they immediately think of slumlords, and they think of people who are unfairly evicting people from their homes during a global pandemic. What do you say to all that?
Well, we say that we are housing providers. And so your point is well taken. Landlord does have a negative connotation, but what we do is provide housing for people. It is a product. It's something that we are proud of. And yes, we are getting a bad rap in many cases because we're set up as the enemy. And we are absolutely not. We're working side by side with the tenant and with the renter, because without them, there is no housing provider. Without the housing provider, there's no tenant. So we are both, you know, two sides of one coin. We work together. We must work together.
You know, the media's focus has been largely on the renters, on the people in danger of losing their homes. What's gotten lost there as far as you're concerned?
Well, that we have the same concern as well. It's important to me that my tenants are housed. And that's why I'm in this business, to house people. That's why all of us are. The thing that's gotten lost, I think, Steve, and I'm glad you asked that, is that there is someone on the other side of that. There is a housing provider that has, at their own expense, made a decision to invest in their city, to purchase rental housing, to provide to people that need it. And many times, and during this pandemic, they're in crisis as well. We did a survey a few months back of our housing providers in the area. And by the way, the Casey Regional Housing Alliance, we're comprised of organizations and leaders of organizations that represent our fellow housing providers, whether realtors, whether they're property managers, investors, and landlords or housing provider organizations. Our survey showed that 30% of them at that time were struggling and not able to pay their own mortgage payments. And that's a big deal. They cannot, in many cases, take care of their own homes, because many of them, this is a retirement income, and they have lost their jobs. And then with not getting rent, many of have lost their source of income, so they can't pay bills in their own home. And yet with the eviction moratoriums, and particularly the CDC, which impacts 95% of us, they have been told not only must you keep people in your home that are not able to pay, but you must pay their rent and allow them to live rent-free in your property and continue to maintain the property and hold up your end of the lease agreement and the contract. And so we've been lost in the process, but we know that the tenants are suffering as well as the people who own the property. We're all in this together.
You know, what else are property managers dealing with right now as this pandemic reaches new heights, Stacy?
Well, we're dealing with many things, as we always do. We always, you know, it's not unusual for us to have a tenant that has an emergency and can't pay the rent. That's something that is always the case for us. Now it's exaggerated so much more because of the pandemic. And instead of maybe one tenant who may be behind, there may be three, four, or five tenants. And many of the housing providers in our marketplace only have, you know, less than 10 units. And many of them have less than five rental units. So it impacts them in a big way. So we are dealing with a loss of income, trying to stabilize our families. And more importantly, something that we are doing nowadays, we're proactive. We're business people, and we always look for solutions. If we have people that are not able to pay their rent, our question immediately becomes, what can we do to help them? And so we've turned our focus to trying to identify rental, resources for rental assistance. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we worked with the United Way. We asked them to join us, and we did a virtual event where we invited tenants, we've invited organizations that work with people, school districts with homeless students. We invited our fellow housing providers to jump online in a virtual event to find out what resources are available. We had organizations that offer resources, including United Way and dialing 211. And the city of Kansas City also has some resources that they can point people to. We are actively, trying to find ways to help people get the rent paid because we know that that not only stabilizes the housing provider, their household, and the tenant who actually lives there who needs to be stable during this time, but our market, because many of those housing providers, Steve, in our survey, 40% of them said that they will, because of a lack of income and because of the CDC eviction moratorium, they will sell their homes, their properties. And we're already short. We already have a shortage, and we do not need them to sell. We need to keep our inventory stabilized and keep these properties in the hands of the small to medium independent housing providers, as opposed to the out-of-state interests that will come in and buy up these properties and raise the rent.
Stacy, let's talk about the services that are available to tenants these days, because I went on the United Way website over the weekend and tried to dance through the website to get to a place where you could actually get help if you were a tenant who was running out of money. And my reaction to it was, unless you're a computer whiz, you're going to have a real hard time getting to the point where you can actually get help. There were a lot of different clicks you had to make to get to that point. What's your reaction to that?
You are reading my mind. And so along those lines, we've worked specifically directly with United Way and Jim there, and we've come up with a way to streamline the process, not only for the housing provider, but for the tenant. And we're going to get some information on our Facebook page this afternoon, which is the streamlined process, because there are, you know, two forms that need to be completed. And then there is a special email address for the United Way that people will be able to submit to get streamlined and then fast tracked through the process. So I'm glad you said that, because that's what we experienced as well. And calling the 211 number, it's open 24/7. Calling that number, you get a person that can take you, you know, that can process the call. But you're right, if you're on the computer, we need to find a way to make it easier. And we've done just that. And I'll tell you, they're wonderful to work with. And we will have on our Facebook page, KC Regional Housing Alliance, links to those forms for Johnson County and Jackson County. And I think we have something for Wyandotte County as well, because the funding is there, Steve. And as a matter of fact, it disappears at the end of the month, end of December, and it goes back to the federal government. And one of the things we were interested in is making sure that did not happen, because we know that there's a need in our community, and our goal is to help the United Way get the word out about the funding and to apply and get those funds out on the street. So on our Facebook page, we'll have a shortcut and a streamlined application process. And I'm glad you asked that.
So you're saying that if a tenant out there is struggling with the December rent, there's a place for them to go and they can actually get a cash assistance help right now.
Absolutely. It's rental assistance that is through the CARES Act from the federal government. United Way has it, as do a lot of other organizations under the United Way umbrella, and that money must be spent by the end of the year. And that's why we got involved. It's like, there's no way that we're going to let the funds go back to the federal government when we know in our communities that there is a need right here. And we just worked that out on Friday, which is why this afternoon, like I said, on our Facebook page, KC Regional Housing Alliance, that we'll have that information, those applications out, so that we can get the money in our, you know, into the hands of those who need it immediately. You
know, Stacy, I know this isn't your responsibility as head of the Kansas City Regional Housing Alliance, but why has it been so difficult to navigate that United Way website to get these critical funds?
Well, I you're right. It's not my responsibility, but I'll tell you, they are great to work with. And a phone call to 211 is probably easier than navigating a website. Because there they have caseworkers that will take your, I think, zip code, and then they'll tell you which organizations in that area will help you. And they'll give you the name and number. It's a real quick, simple process on, you know, on the call. And again, it's 211 from any phone number. And I have to say, they're great to work with, Steve. I have no complaints. They went above and beyond to work directly with us to host that event virtually. And the recording for that event is still on our Facebook page as well, where people can go and look at the organizations that are offering assistance to find out where it is and who to contact to get it. So we are being very proactive at this time, and they have been great working with us. I have to say,
Stacy, do tenants in Kansas City understand there's help out there for them? Do they understand what the CARES Act is and that there's a place for them to go to get help?
That's why we're here. Our goal is to help them. There's no one else really doing this at the level that we're doing it. We see a void in the market where no one is really speaking for tenants and trying to help tenants get the help they need. There's a big focus on eviction moratoriums and extending them, and people living in their property rent-free. But most people want to pay their rent, Stephen. We see that, but we don't see anyone representing the voice of those tenants who need help, which is why we're here. We're out here and we're doing everything we can to reach out. As a matter of fact, since we did that virtual event online, I've had calls. I had a call this morning from someone saying, "Stacey, I need rental assistance. Can you help me?" It's like, no, I can't. But I point them to the event that we did that's about an hour and a half long. It's on our page. No one's really the voice of the real tenant that needs help out here. And that's where we step in the void. And we've always done that. People have never seen us.
Stacey, the argument from KC Tenants, the tenant advocacy group here in Kansas City, would be that they're the voice of the tenants. They're the ones who've been advocating so vigorously on behalf of tenants for a couple of years now.
Well, please let me know what you've seen them do. I saw recently them chain themselves to a courthouse. That doesn't help a tenant get into a home.
But they were arguably standing up for tenants who were in danger of being evicted during a global pandemic.
How did that work out for them? Their tactics are attention getting, sure. But what we're doing, the way you keep a tenant in a home is to help them get the rent paid. You avoid an eviction by paying the rent because the majority of the evictions are for non-payment of the rent. We know that, we see that. And we don't have time for, you know, tactics, attention getting tactics. We go straight to the work that needs to be done. And if you have a tenant that has not paid their rent, we know that that's a contract. When they go to court, when the eviction moratorium is lifted, as it is at any other time, when they go to court, the judge will say, "Did you pay your rent?" If the answer is no, they will be evicted. And that is unfortunate. Our goal, our hope is to avoid that. No one benefits when they're evicted. So we try to avoid the eviction to begin with. We don't want to prolong it. We don't want to extend it. We want to stop it. You avoid the eviction by getting the rental assistance that I mentioned into the hands of those that need it. So those families are stabilized and they're not living on the edge of their seat wondering when they're going to be evicted. Is it going to be in the dead of winter that they'll be homeless? They don't have to worry about that. The kids can study, parents can work, take care of the family, and know that your rent has been paid, your home base is stabilized.
I'm visiting with Stacey Johnson Cosby. She's president of the Kansas City Regional Housing Alliance. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our number, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Let's go to Blaine from Kansas City, Missouri. Blaine, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm the CEO at Save Inc. We're a housing provider here in Kansas City. And we have that we have funds available through the CARES Act, quite a bit of it actually, for people who have been evicted or are facing eviction or have passed due utilities due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Do tenants know that money's available? Blaine, what's your sense?
It's the word is starting to get out there, but there are a lot of people who are, you know, who have been given eviction papers or are facing eviction who really don't, they have no clue where to turn.
Where do people go to get the help you're talking about, Blaine?
You can call our number is 816-531-8340. There are a number of providers here in the city that have these funds. For instance, Metro Lutheran Ministries is doing work on this. Over on the Kansas side, Crosslines has funding. So there's a couple of providers in the city that have this assistance.
How hard is it to get the funds from you, Blaine? And what's the process look like?
There's an application that has to be completed. We would have to have documentation of the eviction or the pending eviction. And in the case of utilities assistance, we would need documentation of the disconnected utility or the pending disconnection. Folks will have to complete an application and have identification and things like that.
Blaine, are people in Kansas City, are renters being evicted right now? Is that a process that you see going on out there?
There have been some evictions in spite of the eviction moratorium. It obviously isn't at the level that it was, you know, prior to the moratorium being put in place by the CDC. But there have been some evictions.
Okay, Blaine, thank you very much. And Stacy, what's your sense of the number of evictions we're seeing around town right now, despite the existence of that CDC eviction moratorium? I think a lot of people think all this has stopped when in fact it hasn't.
Right. And I'm glad he called in because he was mentioned in our virtual event that they had funding. So I'm glad to hear him say that. The focus, like I mentioned, the evictions are fewer because now as housing providers, we are finding ways to keep our tenants housed by finding out about the funding that's out here, the rental assistance that's out here. I'd much rather spend time helping identify rental assistance for my tenants than going to eviction court filing eviction. And when the housing providers are filing those evictions, it's usually out of a sense of desperation. It's a last resort. Many have not received rent payments since March or April. And they have, on most of these properties, they have mortgage payments and mortgage that are due. And a lot of them, I think I mentioned earlier, 40% of them are going to sell because there's no income. And so if we can prevent them from having to sell and keeping our inventory here in our marketplace with the small to medium housing provider, that's ideal. And so that's why we're trying to get the word out. You know, you don't need to file the eviction because nobody wants to and nobody wins with an eviction. Instead, let's get the funds out here and into the market where the people are. And if you can, you mentioned Casey Tenants earlier, we asked them to help spread the word about our event. And we noticed they have a very active social media presence, and they did not. They absolutely didn't help us get the word out. And so if there's something you can say, Steve, maybe you're magic, and you can have them help us spread the word about what we're doing now with this streamlined process with United Way that'll be on our Facebook page, the Casey Regional Housing Alliance. That'll be great. If they have a direct line to tenants, they can get those tenants and their housing providers to apply for this funding. It will go back to the federal government.
Well, we're getting the word out with this show right now, getting the word out about this. But how can there be evictions when the CDC has an eviction moratorium in place, Stacy?
Well, people can file them. And then so in a sense, they're getting in line. The CDC eviction moratorium, the main purpose of that was to keep tenants from being evicted from the home prior to December the 31st. So the paperwork can be filed, but you cannot physically evict someone. So the goal was to keep people sheltered and in place. My problem with the eviction moratorium is that once it expires, and in this case, if it's at the end of the year, that's in the dead of winter. And so at that point, you're putting someone out when they get to court. They'll be homeless. They'll have damaged credit because a lot of people don't look at that. When they're talking about extending the eviction moratorium, the tenant will, in most cases, have months of rent that are due. If you can't pay $500, $600 a month, there's no way you're going to pay $3,000 or $4,000 when the moratorium is lifted.
But Stacey, I'm just struck. Just a few weeks ago, there was a webinar hosted by the Kansas City Regional Association of Realtors and Heartland MLS. It was October 7th. Megan Booth, the director of federal housing at the National Association of Realtors, spoke to the group. She assured landlords in the audience that you can evict for non-payment of rent. She pointed out that the most useful way stipulated in the CDC order is for any lease violation other than for non-payment. But what about that? You can't evict for non-payment of rent right now.
Well, of course you can't. The CDC eviction moratorium says you can't. I think maybe she was talking to the future. You can file the eviction for non-payment. And then once the eviction moratorium is lifted, it's a different story. But our focus, I happen to be a realtor as well, and a member of the organizations that you mentioned, our focus is keeping people housed.
Right.
And making sure that we protect also the person, like I mentioned, the housing provider, who many times this is retirement income.
Right, right.
Or it is their primary source of income. If they don't get income from their investment, which is the property, then they can't pay their bills.
I understand. Let me go to some phone calls here. Let me go to some phone calls here, Stacy. Jan from Kansas City, Missouri. Jan, you're on Up to Date.
Yes. Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Nice to have you, Jan. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question. I've got a sixplex, and I've got a tenant who is being extremely disruptive and has caused now another tenant to move out. What is the course of action to evict the disruptive tenant to prevent others from leaving as well. Is there any particular guidance on that kind of an issue?
Stacy, what would you say to Jan?
I'd say talk to an attorney, talk to a real estate attorney. I'll tell you, that's a particular group that's doing well with the eviction moratorium because many of our municipalities, our taxpayer dollars are going to legal aid type groups for attorneys. And then attorneys are having to represent us because of the question like Jan that are complicated real estate type questions. Whereas before, many times we took care of things, but now a lot of our taxpayer funding goes to legal aid, which helps people try to prevent an eviction, which we know they can't. And that money we think would be better spent going into the hands of the tenants and the housing providers that need it. Don't waste our money on an eviction process. Let's avoid and prevent the eviction. And then the way we do that is use those funds and mobilize those funds, get the word out that they are available for rental assistance. Let's focus on preventing the eviction and stabilizing people's lives and not damaging their credit and having a judgment over them for years.
Ashley on Twitter writes us this: one of my employees was evicted from her apartment last week in Lafayette County with less than 24 hours notice. So that notice from Lafayette County. Let's go to Ruben from Kansas City, Missouri. Ruben, nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask Ms. Johnson-Cosby if there are similar programs or if her association is working with small businesses who may also be tenants and be struggling to pay their rent, challenges working with their landlords.
We're working with anyone that needs help. Our goal is to help avoid the crisis and do whatever we can to prevent it. So if you want to reach out to me again, that Facebook page, KC Regional Housing Alliance, or you can email me, kcregionalhousingalliance@gmail.com. Our goal is to stabilize our rental market, and we will work with whoever wants to join us. Like I said, we are an alliance of organizations that represent over 100,000 rental units in our region. And so we do think of ourselves as the voice of rental housing providers, and we are here to serve our community.
Just quickly, Stacy, just to wrap this conversation up, you guys are lobbying Congress for another stimulus package through the CARES Act to continue past the December 31st cutoff. What's the prospects for that in your view?
Well, we're working specifically with our members of Congress and Senate, asking that they would please, provide rental assistance, get it into our marketplace. And there's also a national alliance that I'm a part of. We're asking that across the country. And if you extend the eviction moratorium, it should always be tied to rental assistance directly to it. If the government is going to mandate that I let people live in my home for free, at least provide the funding so that I don't go out of business and lose my home in the process. And so we're also asking the city, the mayor has mentioned that he's working with small businesses, to Ruben's point as well, waiving fees. We're asking the city council today that they would include us in it because we have fees that are due. And again, with many of us not having received rent for months and no income for months, saving those fees would be incredibly helpful next month when they are due through the health department. Right. So we're going to ask the council to work with us on that as well.
That's Stacy Johnson-Cosby. She's president of the Kansas City Regional Housing Alliance. Stacy, thanks for sharing your views today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.